You have questions. Find your answers at starspsychics.com.
Hello, I'm Natalie, owner of starspsychics.com. I am dedicated to providing affordable access to spiritual advisors. Here are two satisfied clients who will tell you what it's like to work with me.
Quoting Jackie.
It's a comfortable site. Everybody is so friendly. They treat you like family.
Barb added this about Natalie.
She's a kind and caring person who gives accurate readings.
You have questions? Find your answers today at starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as Starscast. And you know I always say that, and I always say, I don't know why I say that, but there are some people listening that will say, who is this lady? I thought her name was Natalie. But anyways, we have another awesome guest. This is going to be great tonight. I'm going to tell you that right now. I've already talked to my guests a little bit off air, and it's going to be fun. But anyways, let me remind everybody about going to mysticlivingtoday.com. Check it out. Everything went in about the first of this month, and then around the 20th, as everybody knows, I send out all my reminders to everybody that I know and the publicists and the authors, and I'll accept poetry, excerpts, anything, press releases. I just started doing press releases, I think, last year, and it's really nice for even things in the local area. Like, I'm close to Savannah, so a lot of times I'll promote Savannah stuff, and they just love that. I mean, they really, really do. But you know me, I love to promote everybody anyways. But so go to the magazine, check out everything. My guest, I actually have an excerpt from his book in the e-zine for this month. And it's really, really nice. And the book is there and picture of his book. But anyways, the other thing I want to tell everybody is stars with a Z, psychics.com. Go there. We still have 10 minutes for $10. Lots of great people there. We are a family. And when you join Stars, I consider you to be part of the family. And that's what you are. And, you know, I welcome you. And it's really, really nice. Most of the other sites are so big that they just can't take the time to do it, but I can. And I love to do it. So Stars, S-T-A-R-Z, psychics.com. So without further ado, let me bring my guest in here. He's an author. He's listed as a traveling author, but he's got such a great story to tell. And his book, you're going to hear. You're going to hear all about it. And welcome. His name is Blaine Wright. Welcome, Blaine. How are you tonight?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm awesome. Awesome. You can tell I'm excited. Anyways, you wrote a book. Well, you wrote one book or a short story called Rusty's Tale. But what I want you to do is I just want you to start at the beginning of your quest. I call it a quest because it really is and still is. I want people to know how you kind of, you know, things always happen for a purpose, a reason. Sometimes I'll say divine intervention. There's always something behind it. Okay, we have to get Blaine over here. How do we get him there? That's how I like to think of it, that there's, you know, that they're looking down and, yeah, he needs to write this. We got to get him over there. So start at the very beginning and tell a little bit of your story, and then, I'm going to have questions. I always have questions. So just start at the very beginning. How did you get started? Short story, Rusty's Tale.
Well, Rusty's Tale is sort of a practice. If we want to go to my starting point, we have to go back literally over 50 years. As a child, me and my brothers and my mother were taking a trip into the wilderness of West Central Idaho looking for a new place to live. I was born in Rupert, Idaho, which is in the valley in the south. And, we outgrew it. A broken home, a lot of us kids were always in trouble and stuff like that. So we were sort of trying to outrun rumor. But we came across this place called Whitebird Pass. And I didn't realize at the time how indelibly it would be got in my psyche. But I never got over the place. I chose to live there. It didn't happen. I think in your little blurb it says we moved there. We never did because I got out. So I never got to live there. And I tell them that all the time about how a lot of this is written because you guys wouldn't let me live there. I've gone back so many times and camped along the rivers and the mountains and walked the trails and climbed the peaks, and I've done so much there in search of what I missed. And I finally figured out I had to write about it, and that's where we come to Rusty's Tale, because I didn't know if I could be an author. I didn't know if that could happen, so I decided to give it a try. Rusty's Tale is very amateurish. the book cover is just an old, very old photograph I had of my dog, and I didn't edit it at all. I just wanted to see if I could do it and put it on. They used to have a program called CreateSpace. I don't know if you've heard of it. On Amazon, and I did it myself and put it on there just to say that I could do it, and it worked. I finished that in April or May of 2018, and by the end of the year, I had written White Bird.
That's what I want to hear about, is that big white. I see it as a big white bird on your book cover, and you said it's an eagle kind, but it's a big bird, right? We have them here in South Carolina. They're very rare. I mean, you can see them once in a while, but they're very rare. They hide really well, real high up in the trees. So if you're lucky, like in the summertime, you might get to see one here and there, but they are protected.
Yeah.
They are really, really protected. So tell us about that. Tell us about the white bird.
Okay, well, first off, you'll be getting used to me saying eagle, not an eagle.
Okay.
This is eagle. This is the great spirit eagle. And this goes back to the Nez Perce lore of, they have an old religious group called the Dreamers. Part of what they believed in was something called Wyakin. And Wyakin was the belief that you could bond, the warriors especially, but anybody could bond with a spirit animal, and it created certain powers. Well, my imagination got rolling along with that, and so I just took that idea and ran with it. So, yeah, it's a lot more in my book than it ever was in theirs. But, yeah, I speak of the dreaming way of the Nez Perce, and what a great people they are. When I got to research them for this book, I was just the Nez Perce peoples are just the finest people I have ever researched or learned about. They knew about honor and courage and loyalty and
now we talked about them. It is a tribe, but it isn't a tribe. I mean, are they? I want to say Indians. Is that what they are?
Yes, they are Native Americans.
I want people to understand that we're talking out in the West here. That's why it's so fascinating. And I have to interrupt you, and I got to tell you this, Blaine. When I was a little girl, you're not going to believe this. I used to watch Westerns on television. And the reason I watched them is because I like to hear the horses with their gallop. Isn't that stupid? I love that sound. I just loved it.
I have the great spirit of horse in there, too.
Book. Awesome. Okay,
yeah.
So tell us about the tribe. And you said sometimes they don't like to be, people like that do not like to be called a tribe, correct?
No, they
call it a group.
Like the Cherokee peoples, which I am, I have some Cherokee blood in me. They call themselves a nation, the Cherokee Nation. I have read extensively where the Nez Perce do not mind them calling themselves tribes because they did have tribes. White Bird's tribe were the Salmon River Basin group of the Nez Perce people. Chief Joseph, who many have heard of, if you want name recognition, the closest I can come is Chief Joseph of the Wallowa Wilderness Reservation. Looking Glass was the Clearwater people, the Nez Perce people. There's a schism with them that happened in 1877 between the reservation Nez Perce and the non-reservation Nez Perce. My people are the non-reservation Nez Perce. That's who I write about.
Okay.
Yeah, they were the ones that got that had to. Little history in 1877, our government decided that they needed to shrink the promise of the 1850s down by 90% and put the Indians on a reservation that was just one tenth the size of what they had been promised. And the people that lived within that reservation were willing to go along with it within the new piece of the reservation. But the people like the Wallow Wilderness Chief Joseph, he traveled there to try to go on the reservation and surrender. But the white people who lived in the area were so afraid they were going to go on the warpath that they barred their way. And so he retreated, as well as Looking Glass and some others retreated, to a place that is now known as Whiteberg Canyon. It's the same as Whiteberg Pass that I crossed when I was 9 years old. And people have told me, why are you titling a book with such a simple name as Whiteberg? Well, I can't not call it Whiteberg, because everything's about Chief Whiteberg and the town of Whiteberg and the Whiteberg Pass and the great battle of Whiteberg of 1877. So there's so much there to talk about. Everything I researched and wrote about, most of what they have, there's a place just inside the reservation up there that you can pull in, and they've got a lot of books to get and everything. And I just literally bought up all the books. But most of it's about the Battle of 1877, the Battle of Whiteberg, because that was a vanishing people then, because it wasn't a battle to them. They just wanted to keep the U.S. cavalry away long enough for them to get their old people and children across the river to start trying to run to Canada. And they succeeded. Chief Joseph became famous for his surrender speech. I don't know if you've heard of something about, goes along the lines of, from this, as the sun sets on the day, I will fight no more forever. Does that sound familiar?
What is it again? Tell me that again.
As the sun sets on the day, I will fight no more forever, or something like that.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that was Chief Joseph's surrender speech. He became famous for that. And everybody talked about what a great tactician he was. And I'm not going to take it away from him, but I believe that Chief Whiteberg was probably the biggest figure in that, but there's nothing written about Chief Whiteberg, except they named everything after him, which was fortunate for me, because he has no ancestral lineage that's written, and he has no descendants. So my character is descended from Chief Whiteberg.
Wow.
There's a funny thing. You ask about the big bird. There's something I had to just ignore and not write about, because I found out in my research that Whiteberg, actually, when they're talking about what kind of bird it was, he was known as White Pelican. And that just didn't sound right for me. So I made it an eagle.
Amazing. So now, how big is this tribe? I mean, is there a lot of people in it?
No. They have probably never been much above 5,000 people in all their history. Oh,
wow.
Can I tell
to
you
me, that's a lot.
About how far back?
But I guess it's not a lot, huh, Blaine? I mean, I guess that's not that big,
no,
right?
No. The Cherokee Nation and the Navajo Nations and stuff like that, they're in the tens of thousands and stuff like that, 50,000, the great Sioux Nations and, you know, the Nez Perce were a very small group. They lived off the salmon, off the salmon run. What fascinated me about them, and I had to relate this, is because they claim to be the people. Nimiipuu is what they call themselves, the Nimiipuu, and it translates to the people. And I can make a strong argument, and I did in my book, that they're right, that they were among the very first people on the North American continent.
Wow.
If you look back, if you think about the last ice age, the people across the Bering Sea, as it was frozen over, chased the you know, as this didn't happen overnight, it happened over hundreds of years, but as the ice kept going farther south, the game, the antelopes and stuff like that kept moving farther south, and the tribe followed them. Well, the first really good inlet into the landmass is the Great River that comes across Washington and Oregon, and flows into the Snake River. And that's the big. It's the biggest inlet there is. I'll think of the name in a minute.
I'm not really good with history, so you're probably going to remember it better than I. I mean, I could look it up while you're talking.
It's the Columbia River. It's the Columbia River. That's what I was trying to
think. Okay, there we go. Okay.
Yeah, it's a huge river inlet, and it goes inland. And this is the first place that the peoples who were traveling down, literally, now I want to say this real clear, between 10 and 15,000 years ago. That's how long they've been there.
Oh, my gosh.
It boggles my brain. It does, because it's true. And they call themselves the people. They consider themselves the first people, and that's the argument. I think they were one of the very first people to populate this land.
Wow.
And their traditions have come down, you know, oral traditions. So
tell me, do you have interaction with these people? I mean,
I do. A letter. I wrote up a letter to the Nemi Poo. I was going to print. I was going to put it in the Moscow, Idaho paper. And
yeah.
There is a lady. There's a lady, and maybe she'll hear this someday. And God bless her. She's an activist, Ty Simpson, and she calls us the colonizers. The white people are the I don't disagree. We're the colonizers. And I asked her opinion about this, and she told me that in her biased opinion, and she admitted it was biased, that at the very best, the people would just shrug their head and say I was just another one of those white colonizers who thought I knew what I was talking about. And at the worst, they'd be angry about it. And like I say, she's biased. I have nothing but pride in those people, and I hope that they don't take it badly, because it's all great stuff for them. However, they're not really my audience, and they're not who I'm talking about, because again, we're talking about the reservation Nez Perce there.
Right.
And my people are the non-reservation Nez Perce. That's Chief Whitebird and Chief Joseph and stuff like that. These were the non-reservation peoples. And if you think about it, the Nez Perce Reservation, so much like any other reservation, to this day, there's about 4,000 Nez Perce people on the reservation. And inside the reservation, there's probably about 30 to 40,000 white people inside the reservation.
Wow. This is all fascinating to me. I mean, because it's, I mean, I don't think people realize what's still out west. I don't think they really realize it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, these things still exist. These people are still out there. I mean, just because you don't hear about them, and maybe you did, you know, 25 years ago or whatever. Now, the name of it, what does that mean exactly, the Nez Perce? What does that mean?
Oh, it's actually a mistake. Back when Lewis and Clark were introduced to the people by a French trapper, he introduced them as the Nez Perce, and it means pierced noses. And the Nez Perce people, they accept that name now. They accept the name Nez Perce, even though they call themselves the Nemi Poo. But they say no. Only a rare case ever would anybody. They didn't pierce their noses. They had neighbors to the north who pierced their noses. So Nez Perce means pierced noses. Our noses pierced, I guess. But they accept themselves as the Nez Perce people, and it's typical of so many names that the North American colonizers, the Europeans who came to North America changed names of so many things and call them
They changed them all the time. I mean, so I think they just changed them because they felt like it, or maybe they didn't. They had some kind of vote. Well, we don't like this name. Well, let's call it something different, and that's the way it was.
Sure.
It's not like us changing our state.
Yeah, and there's another problem with the Nez Perce is because so many of the Nez Perce back in the 1800s when they saved the Lewis and Clark expedition. They saved them. They would have died without the Nez Perce people. The Nez Perce people found them crossing the wild mountains to the east, and they were starving, and they took them in. And there's a lot. They almost considered killing them. There's a big long story there about a Nez Perce woman who had been captured many decades earlier, and somehow and had made her way back, and talked about how the white people had saved her. The white people to the east had saved her, and so they got together and decided that maybe there would be a benefit in the Nez Perce people have always been the white man's friend. The white man had the people, however, but yeah, they never declared war ever on the Nez Perce. Have never declared war on the white people. Never.
Well, I mean, you know, the history of the Native Indian and. Is fascinating, and I know I remember, I mean, we taught it when we were in school, but I don't think people really realize, I'm going to ask stupid questions, I know, I think of Native America, I think of them in tents. I mean, had they're in buildings, or they don't live in tents, do they, or do they?
Not anymore, really. They do have a lodge. They have medicine lodge tents and stuff like that. Ty Simpson told me that I could never be accepted or adopted within the people unless I attended their birth ceremonies with them and stuff like that. Because I expressed to her that I have adopted these people as my own, and I would hope my big dream would be. To be adopted by them someday, but I'm not gonna try to, beg my way into them because their ancestors are the people who I fell in love with. I don't know these people of today. They have not qualified for any special love and respect in my mind because I don't know them.
Right.
They're probably great people. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it's their ancestors that I read about that
right.
Were such a great people. And I hope they still live with that honor that was passed down because I cannot express any louder and clearer how you could not face your people if you did not live with honor. You would not go to your ancestral home when you died. If you didn't live a life of honor, and that meant for the braves as well as for the women of the tribe, you never told a lie. They didn't understand the word lie.
I think they're probably still the same, Blaine. I'm hoping like you that they are, but it's tradition, and when you keep down the line, mother, father, son, daughter. And the grandparents above and the great-grandparents above, that gets passed down when you're in a community like that. And I bet you most of them are the same.
They try to keep those.
I want to believe that. I really, really do because I'm honorable myself, and I know what that means. And I have the greatest respect for everybody, but I was always fascinated in school. Like I told you, I love to hear the horses run and westerns that I watch on TV. I mean, I don't even know why. It was silly. Maybe another life I was there. I don't know. But to this day, and I've not ever been around them, horses, I adore them. My favorite is Secretariat, Big Red.
You missed it then. You missed it. I've been around horses.
When I see a Secretariat, a picture of him on Instagram, I mean, and they comment to me. I just call I just say my love, Big Red, and I put a heart, and that's the truth. And I don't know why I have affinity to that horse, but I do. But anyways, I think that's from when I was a real young girl, And it's amazing how things stick with you. But I bet you any money they still have all the honor And if, you know, and the younger ones, well, maybe they try to go off the beaten path a little bit, so to speak. But I bet you they are reprimanded, and they might even have the fear of what would happen to them or what they could not have anymore if they did that, don't you think? I mean, I just think that's instilled.
I would hope that. Unfortunately, there is the problem where the European people, we sort of pulled them away from their traditions. We tried to take the, we called it barbarism. They were savages, and we tried to tame them and teach them religion and stuff like that. And we took them away from their traditions, and they fight to keep those traditions. They do. Believe me, I follow the Nez Perce Facebook page, and they have their troubles. Meth, the drug meth. You've heard of meth and the troubles it causes across America. Well, it's a very big problem in the reservations. Perhaps because they don't have a very promising future. Things like that. They never. It's wilderness. It's a very down to earth way of living.
It's rural. It's just out there. Yeah.
Yes. And the white people live in the areas live fairly close to the same way. There is a big schism in this country between rural America and urban America. They don't understand each other. I've lived in both. I've lived in Houston, Texas area for 35 years of my life, but I'm a country boy deep down in my soul and my bones. So I understand.
Are you a cowboy?
I am.
Are you a cowboy? I saw your picture, I said, and I wanted to say this on the air, but I didn't want to insult you, but I wanted to say, I'm going to talk to a cowboy. This is no joke. This is what he is.
I am
so thrilled. You know, I was telling Blaine, to my listeners I'm talking, I was telling his publicist, you know, I read about his book, and I want him on my show. So I wrote her right away, and I said, do you think he'd want to do this? Oh, and I confirmed, and she told me just today, she says he's so excited to be on the show. And I've known her a while now, and I hesitate. I should have asked you that before we went on the air if you're a cowboy, but I'm glad. I'm so happy.
Well,
because I
used
to watch all the cowboy shows, so I know.
I suppose we have to get into the definition of cowboy. I've ridden horses.
Yes.
I lived a very, very country, rural living. I didn't actually ride and rope. I was in the miniature rodeo in Minidoka County in Rupert, Idaho, when I was like 6 or 7 years old. So yeah, I a little bitty bucking Palomino horse or something like that. I can't really remember things like that. Country music all my life. I'm very classic country. The Western cowboys have always been my greatest heroes. Waylon Jennings, as far as country music, there's a country soul, a cowboy soul. I'm a cowboy biker hippie, if you want to know the truth. I'm all of those. So but it's a soul, I think. Yeah, I've done all that. That's why I so quickly can say, when you ask if I'm a cowboy, yeah, I'm a cowboy.
I just love it. I just think. Now, do you have a horse?
No, I never have, because I live too urban.
You're a cowboy living in the city.
And I could not do what some folks do. A lot of folks that I know, they buy horses, and they rent these stalls and they go visit them every once in a while. No, a horse to me would be a part. I'm an animal lover. I've got 7 cats who live with me in my house.
I have one.
Oh, I'm a lover of cats. I'm a lover of dogs. I'm a lover of horses. A lot of people will try to tell you that horses are just another dumb animal. They're not, and neither are dogs, and neither are cats.
My cat is really smart. He's a Maine Coon, and he's really big. But you know, they surprise you if you're with them a lot. You learn when they're kind of talking to you, or when they run in and then they run out the door. I mean, there's something that they want. They want you to follow them. And my cat's name is Muzzy, and everybody that's listening knows about Muzzy. And he walks around like he's a lion. I mean, he's the boss. I'm the boss. But animals are like that. But, I mean, they can be so good to you. They're always true to you. You know, they're faithful. You can yell at them, even dogs, you can yell at them, and they still come back. I mean, they still want you to pet them and love them up and all of that.
I would say that horses and dogs are more fiercely loyal than cats.
Yes. He's got an independent nature to him. You're right about that. Not all cats show that they really love you. I mean, Muzzy will do that. But sometimes I think he does that because he's got something else in his mind, I want to get really close to her, and because it makes me feel good, him. So, you know, they don't do that.
Oh, they all have different personalities. They all do, and I could go on forever about that. Ocho, a cat that I saved, rescued out, he was out in the wild, and I found him and brought him home. He was my eighth cat at the time, so my wife named him Ocho, and he is fiercely loyal to me. I'm his alpha. I don't know if you know what that means. In other words,
yes.
he turned this whole house into a chaos, and it still is because my other cats don't like him. He wants to be the alpha cat to all of those, and he was out there running wild, so he has a different personality. But I'm his alpha, and he loves me. He actually goes to sleep on my face. I have to find a way to breathe, turn my head enough to breathe because he wants to go to sleep on my face.
Well, I noticed with my cat Muzzy, he's very protective of me. I mean, when people come here, it doesn't matter whether it's my son, my granddaughter, my daughter. It doesn't matter, okay? It's like he's saying, don't take your shoes off. Don't make yourself comfy. You're not staying. This is my house. This is my mom. And that's exactly, he's got that attitude, but he's big, you know? And it's amazing.
They're all different.
Let's talk about your book. I know we're talking about animals, and people are saying, what is this, an animal show? Yes, it is. It lets everybody know how special all animals are and what they can mean to you and how, I mean, if you're having a bad day, he knows if I'm having a bad day, they'll come up to you more. And they like routines. They have their own little quirks. I call them quirks because they do.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
But let's talk about your book, White Bird.
Okay.
Now, this is the eagle. This is the eagle. Now, people have never seen an eagle. I don't know what the span is of their wings, but it is big. Eagles are very big. We have them here in South Carolina, but you don't see them that much because they go way high. We have big pine trees here, and on my lot I do. And I have seen them, but I've never seen them land close near the ground. They're always on the lookout kind of thing. And they are protected here in South Carolina. We couldn't build them all because there was an eagle's nest. Can you imagine? She decided to do it right there. Okay. And they couldn't build it for 2 years because they had to wait for her to move.
Yeah. I think they have overprotected the species because I think the eagle can do quite well.
Yeah, but they are so beautiful. They are so beautiful.
Tell us
about the book. Now, let's get into this. Why did you write about the white bird?
The name White Bird stuck. As I sit here, I'm looking around. I have eagle statues and eagle pictures, and my wife painted an eagle picture, and my mother gave me a soundtrack to the movie called Horse Whisperer.
Oh my gosh, I love that movie. I love it.
Well,
Robert Redford.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Well, oh, it's beautiful.
In that soundtrack, there's a song called Me and the Eagle. And I'd love to sing it to you, but I don't want to do that. But it spoke to me. My wife actually drew. She's a painter, and she drew. She made a painting, and I'm looking at it right now. That depicts me and the eagle, a person sitting on the horse, high in a high lonesome, meaning up in the high country, watching an eagle catch a fish. And that all stuck with me. And let's talk about my character, Daniel Knight. He's bonded to Eagle.
Okay.
He was born to destiny because of the circumstances of his birth. Read the prologue, folks. The prologue tells you everything about his. It hints at the whole destiny thing. But he has to do a certain thing to consummate the bond, and that is what the Nez Perce people call, and many other tribes, by the way, call the spirit walk. And there is a very large section in the book, and be prepared, people who read it, because I've been told by people who love me very much that it sort of turns them off, because it's about three or four chapters long, and it's the spirit walk, and it's all him and his horse, and it's within his mind, and it tends to go on, but it's the spirit walk, and it is his way up that mountain. You see the picture of the mountain
yes.
on the front of my book?
Yes.
Those are my mountains.
And if anybody would like to see it, go to Blaine Wright, Wright, Idaho. You'd figure it would be Idaho.com. And there it is. There it is. Oh, yeah. Go ahead. I don't mean to interrupt you. I'm in awe.
That cover of my book is actually a photograph I took of those mountains. You have to travel up a mountain road for 16 miles just to take the photograph. But I have climbed those peaks. I have traveled those mountain trails. I've camped along those mountain lakes. Inside there, what you see on the front of the cover, I've been there. And so, of course, my character, as a 13-year-old boy, when he starts understanding his destiny, has to take that spirit walk, and that's where he has to go to consummate his bond with Eagle. The peak in the middle of that book is known as the Tower of Babel. And that is where Eagle lives. I myself have not got to the peak yet. I quit smoking 6 months ago because I just can't quite get to the top. And
good for
I'm
you.
60, I'm 61 years old, so I've been smoking for 50 years, over 50
yeah.
years, and I finally found the best reason in the world, because I need to make it to the top of there, because in some crazy spiritual way, my Eagle waits for me there. I know that sounds crazy, but
no, it doesn't sound crazy to me. If you know about me, you would know that's not crazy at all. No. And eagles and a lot of different kinds of birds represent a lot of things in people's lives. You know, sometimes people will say, well, if you see a feather, a white feather in front of you or something, that's somebody that's passed on, or it's a message for you. It means different things. So no. I guess that's why I was drawn to have you on the show, because right away I knew this man is really spiritual. You have to be.
I wasn't that spiritual until I
wrote the book. Kind of have to grow into it, don't you? I wasn't when I was little
either.
Yeah,
well, I understood. I kind of understood my fancy for eagles. I did not understand this. As I found that spirituality as I wrote the book, I also found Jesus. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. We won't go into that. That turns a lot of people off, but he is my Lord and Savior. We'll leave it there.
Yep.
But God manifests himself in ways that people need to be expressed to, in how they need it. God is everything to everybody. My
right.
guardian angel is eagle. It's just that simple. My guardian angel is eagle. And I say eagle. I do not say an eagle. I say eagle. And I'm convinced of it.
Well,
and nobody's ever gonna
when you are really spiritual, it doesn't matter what other people say or think. You know from within that it's right. It's real. And, I mean, I feel like that with a lot of things that are going on for me. I don't care what you say. I know.
Good.
And you know.
Absolutely. I would recommend this to anybody. If I had any sage advice for anybody, it would be this. Find something to believe in. Find something
right.
that makes you feel good inside and believe in it hard. Believe in it so hard, so very, very, very hard. That it will become real, and it will be reality. It will. I promise you, it will be reality. Just believe in it. Believe.
No matter what, everyone that's listening. I mean, you're gonna have times where you're gonna be thrown off that path a little bit, and then you have your little doubts. But truly, if it's really within you, you'll go back to where it really is. You won't be gone for very long. And it's not always easy. I tell people that all the time. To believe in something when nobody else does and you don't really care, and even if they did, it didn't matter. It doesn't matter. I don't care whether you believe me or not. You have to go back to that place because
that's yours.
That's
belongs.
All from
nobody
within, right, Blaine?
Yeah, nobody can take it away from you. There's a movie, one of my favorite movies, Shawshank Redemption.
Liam Neeson is in
that.
Oh, I know that movie.
The character in that talk
about
how
funny.
There's something that we have that these people cannot take away, and that is hope. Because that lives within you. You're the only person that can take that away. Nobody can take it away from you, ever. That belongs to you. And that's
right.
What belief does. I want to speak about my heroes. I created heroes all my life. My dad, my brother, the Western heroes. They're bound to fail you because they're human. And I created big ones. I've never been a heroic figure because I'm too honest with myself. I have failed in many ways. I've never been as honorable as I wanted to be. I've been as truthful as I wanted to be. I've never been any of that. Daniel Knight, the character in Whitebird, and it's a series. It's going to go on forever.
I see that on your site.
Yeah, it's going to carry us. It's going to carry us into contemporary and on into science fiction because he's going to take us into the future.
Okay, so now, this White Bird, this book, came just because of what, your love for the bird, or how did you sit down and actually, tell me how this began for you.
I noticed that as I found out that I could never forget the plate, the White Bird.
Okay.
Path. That could never leave my psyche. The Riggins, Idaho, Whitebird, Idaho, the Seven Devils Mountains, they could never leave my psyche. But as I looked into this, I recognized that Eagle has always been with me. Now, my personification of Eagle is a white, totally white bird. But an eagle is not totally white in nature. But Eagle himself is white, personified.
Okay.
I created that.
Okay.
So, yeah, White Bird is Eagle personified. Not that he can ever be a person, but that picture you see on that mountain, that is the ghostly figure of Eagle. However, he does take an eagle form. Daniel actually presents with him an eagle as he goes up to there. And that's in the story, though. But, yeah, Whitebird has always been there. It was always going to be Whitebird's destiny. I didn't pick it. It picked me.
Well, you see, you had the calling. You know, if you look back on your life, you can see where you were and how you got to where you are, but all in between. And people really, they don't understand that. I mean, it just didn't, they don't understand. They're called synchronicities. They don't understand. I call it divine timing also. You know, you go there. I mean, look where you were raised. Look where the territory, I call it territory, you were in. Look what you were exposed to. And the whole thing was presented to you that you were supposed to do this on the white bird. And mm-hmm. because you have an affinity like I have to Big Red, you have an affinity. And mm-hmm. it'll never go away from you. It stays with you forever. And I want everybody to go to your site, and I'm going to say it again. It's Blaine, B-L-A-I-N-E, Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T. Idaho, IDAHO.com. He's a real cowboy. I love it. my first cowboy I had on the site. I mean, on my show, and I also go to the magazine now. I have a little excerpt in there from the book, and I have a picture of his book there, and I'm going to have his book in Amazon, so you'll be able to purchase it through my Akashic Bookstore, or just go to Amazon. I mean, I put it there just as promotion for the authors because that's what I do. I just love to promote everybody. I've been doing it probably most of my life, and I didn't even know it, but I was. And I think everybody has a calling. I hope so. And when you find your calling, don't let it go, no matter what. No matter
what. Oh,
yeah.
What.
Now you have plans to do at least 5 of these, right? 5 books.
I think Ark of the Covenant, which is about book 6, and Ark of the Covenant takes place around the year 2040.
Okay.
And so, it's
well,
all there.
You know what?
I don't know.
You never know, Blaine. Maybe one day I'm going to see your story in as a movie.
My sisters read it, and they said it reads like a movie series. So maybe so. I love it. I hope that any just today. Here's what makes it worthwhile. A person found me on Facebook today. He said, he sent me a messenger thing. He said,
yeah.
I'm a disabled Vietnam veteran who lives in Clarkston, Washington. Now, Clarkston, Washington is right across the border from Lewiston, Idaho, which is right next to the Nez Perce Reservation. So he knew where he was at. And before that day was over, he told me the name of the bookstore in Clarkston, Washington. They have ordered my books. They are going to send me a date for me to do a book signing there. I'm going to be doing a book tour out in that area this spring.
Hello, I love it.
And he's a disabled Vietnam veteran. Well, book one, this book that's out, is dedicated. There's a dedication on the book to the Nez Perce people. Book two and book three are dedicated to the Vietnam veteran. They also are very much my heroes. And I hope to do them proud in those two. Those are hard books to write because, I write it and I have to stop and turn away and wipe the tears off my face and start again because it's hard.
It means a lot to you. Yeah, it means a lot to you. So now are you working on the second one?
I'm working on book two, which takes place in 1968 when Daniel Knight comes of age. He's a warrior. He has to go. People go to war for their reasons. His reason for going is because he has to look out for his people who go.
I see.
That he goes. It's all a part of the Vietnam War and the draft and everything. And the people of their culture, a lot of them went, and some of them have already come back in body bags. And he has to go and prepare for it. And his older brother is white and will be drafted and sent to Vietnam. Unless he enlists and goes. And so those are his reasons for going. Now, there's two Vietnams. There's a 1965 Vietnam and a 1968 and on forward Vietnam after the Tet Offensive. I don't know if I'm speaking foreign language now, but we were all gung-ho in 1965. And by 1968, it was now a replacement war. The body bags were coming home fast and hard, and we were replacing them with more and more draftees.
Right.
So there's two. So I'm writing a novella and creating another character in 1965, and that character will be his company commander in 1968. So there's that one, too. I'm writing that one as well. And I'm writing also Ark of the Covenant, which we spoke of. There's all foreshadowing in this book. If you listen closely as you read, you'll see the foreshadowing of things to come. In 1965, there's a short story I'm writing. I'm thinking about giving it away free, and it is going to, Daniel Knight is going to get involved in trafficking. The reservation people have a problem in America. They have a much higher majority of people, women and children, disappearing on the reservation. There's a lot of reasons
I have
why
no
they
idea.
Talk about. Yeah, because they talk about the reasons why the police forces can't cover those vast areas of wilderness, and our police don't get involved as much and sometimes can't. So the investigations don't go, and they're not reported as well because the people don't trust law enforcement and so many things. Well, Daniel Knight's going to come across some of those people, and it's going to be a short story I'm going to deal with and give it away free as a promotional thing, I think.
Well, you know, I'm so honored to have you on the show because you have opened the awareness, I think, of what's really going on with the tribes, and because we are, you know, we get caught up in our own thing, and I have people on here that are from like Gandhi and all that, and they tell me things, and I just say to everybody, you know what, you live in the United States of America, you need to be proud of where you are, and, you know, but I was not even aware that they're struggling like that. I did not know.
Our Native Americans all struggle. They do. Unfortunately, they don't understand the European way of life. They never have. We took their way of life away from them. I can't make us out totally the bad people because industrialization, if we didn't come across to America, somebody else was going to. Their way of life was over as soon as progress started. And it's amazing how long North America stayed here and nobody knew about it.
Yep.
Nobody understood that it was here. Our way of life did not agree with them. They could still be, if we didn't discover America, they'd still be living on it. And believe me, it would still be the same wilderness North America that it always was. It wouldn't have changed a bit. The buffalo would still roam in their tens of thousands. You want to talk about a sound. You talk about horses making a sound.
Buffalo. Oh, my goodness.
It's
got to be amazing.
Buffalo
it's got work. The earth is shaking, right? Doesn't the earth shake?
Oh, yeah, the thunder of the earth shaking and stuff like that. Yeah, that is monumental, yeah.
Maybe I was a cowgirl in another life. I don't know.
Well, I tell you,
I love animals. I mean, I want to go to Africa so bad, but I record all the planet Earth stuff on TV, and because I like to read and learn all about that kind of stuff, and I bet you those, and they get really big, don't they, Blaine? The buffalo are really big. I mean, weight-wise, just big.
Yeah, they're huge. They are huge. But there was three buffalo herds that roamed the plains. And I'm talking about three herds of maybe a million or more each. They did it in a circle because they needed to, the grass had to grow back on the plains, had to grow back for the next herd. Unfortunately, when the Europeans wanted to defeat the Indians, they knew that the buffalo was their livelihood. So they campaigned to basically kill the buffalo.
Right.
Yeah, and that's really what happened to the great herds. But I mean, those great herds couldn't have existed in America today with the fences.
Do they still roam out there? I mean, are there still herds of buffalo out there?
There are buffalo reservations. They actually have to do a kill off when the buffalo range away from Yellowstone National Park every season. There's too many of them. And so they actually have a kill off that the natives actually do the killing. A certain amount, they try to control it to make sure that the buffalo are not extinct. They are not. They never will be, I don't, because we protect them. But
they're mammoths. I was out west once, and I think I saw one time. And it's just, I mean, if you don't see these animals and realize how big they are, I mean, they're huge, but they're heavy too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're just mammoths. I mean, I'm, mm-hmm. It's amazing. You wouldn't think anything would grow that big, really.
I haven't yet written in the great buffalo spirit yet, but I will.
You must do that. You must.
I've done horse. I've done the great timber wolf. I've done the great brown bear. They are bonded to humans, all of them. In book one, so they're all there. In my short story of 1965 Vietnam, my character actually bonds to tiger. And of course, there's coyote, but coyote's a different creature altogether. Coyote. I don't know if you've heard of tales of coyote, but coyote is a whole different creature. Yeah, there are so many tales of coyote from so many different tribes across America that you have to wonder what's up with that. So, yeah, coyote's in there. And he is a little, he's a character. And he has a human form.
You see what you're doing is you're taking, it's just like having a spirit. They have, like, you know, some people say, well, you know, the white lion is mine, a totem, though you've probably heard of those. But you're taking all of these animals that are, can be spirits, actually spirits to people. And there are a lot of people, I mean, like you. I mean, I don't know about mine. Sometimes I think they're on vacation. I always laugh about that. But, I move at warp speeds. I don't even know if they could keep up with me. I guess they could. But I don't really have everybody has a spirit guide. I don't really know what mine is.
I do, and it's white bird.
I don't really. What?
I do have a spirit guide. It's white bird. It's an eagle.
I know you do. I don't know. Maybe mine is a horse. Could that be possible?
A horse? You should read my book.
I'm going to have Helen send it to me is what I'm going to do. And I get the book anyways when I do the interview. But I want
to
tell everybody, you know, Blaine said that in the beginning or before we were on the air, he said, oh, I don't know if I'll be able to talk enough. Now, you got to understand, we have not stopped talking, right?
I'm not a very talkative person except on this subject.
Well, I said, don't you worry about not talking with me. I'll ask the right questions and you'll run with it. And you see, this is what happens. But I want to have you back after you've done maybe another book or two. And I want to hear about these spirits, these spirit guides. I think it's such great work and it's so informative for everybody who might wonder, well, I wonder, you know, you talk about angels being your guides and all of that, but you can have, a bird can be your spirit guide. I mean, anything.
They are angels.
As I said,
God manifests his creatures in any way we need them to be.
That's right.
However, for you to understand and to
want them in you're right. That's true. I really believe that.
God is all.
And usually animals will choose you.
Sure. And here's the thing you have to understand about the spirit bond with animals. It will disappear if you do not live a life of honor. You have to do something really dishonorable to break it. But it has to be intentional because self-honesty is key. You have to be honest with yourself. I've never been able to understand how people can lie to themselves so well. I think that's my saving grace, is because I've been guilty of so many bad things that I would not confess to you. But the Lord forgave me.
I always tell people, all you have to do is atone for your sins and you're forgiven. That's all you say is, I'm sorry.
You do have to acknowledge them, and self-denial
right.
is a bad thing, and it's common.
Right.
Self-denial is probably the most common bad thing that happens to people. It's almost natural. Look inside
yeah.
yourself and try to be honest, and that is the key to understanding honor, I think. Not that I can always live up to who I want to be, but I will always try, always. I'll never give up trying to find that high peak of honor.
Right. No, I think you're pretty close to it. I really do.
I don't know what's inside me. I live a lot with a lot of guilt. I've done so many things to so many people.
You are atoning by writing all these beautiful books and bringing all this to light for all these people. And it's just a wonderful thing to me. And I'm already following you on Instagram. I already found you.
Well, thank you.
There's no escape, Blaine. There's no escape.
All you have to do is go to my website, send me your email, and you'll have. I will open up this entire world to anybody who goes to my who gets their email to me. I will open up the whole world to them. I have blogs. I have written some blogs that I cannot write. I cannot read out loud without crying. I astound myself sometimes when I read these things, because they are so deep inside me. I'll open up the world. Just send me your, and it's all free. You get a newsletter.
Yeah,
and
they've got to go see you. You're as honest as the day is long. If you go to his site and look at him, and he actually has a cowboy hat on and smiling, and you've been a delight. I'm so happy we got together.
Much.
I really, really am.
I've enjoyed it. I really have enjoyed it. I love it. It carries me through these things, too.
Well, now you're going to remember all the things Natalie said. And then what I'm going to do now is I have to thank Candy. She did the video. And I'll show you the video on Instagram. She did that. She put it on Facebook. She just, she does all the marketing kind of stuff, and she's just amazing. And I always like to thank her at the end of the show because, you like to hear it. You want to know, hey, did I do a good job? And we talk in something called Hangouts, and, I just tell her what a great job. She really does. I mean, and then I have my Jackie who does my content. I have to thank her also. And but to everybody that's listening, go to this man's site and get his book and look at it and see all the stuff about him, and you just look at him and you're going to know, and he's a real cowboy. You see that? I had a real cowboy on my show, and I'm so excited. And you like The Horse Whisperer. I've been looking for that movie back on television again, and I have yet to find it. That, Pete, you should watch that movie. Everybody should watch that. Talk about crying.
Listen to the song, Me and the Eagle. Me and the Eagle talks about living above the timberline and stuff like that. And yeah, living above the timberline. I call it rare air. Where only eagles dare. Rare air where only eagles dare. How's that for writing?
I like it. Candy just sent me a message. Candy just sent me a message. She said, I did reach out to his private message on Facebook on his page about the show earlier in the week, so look for it. I don't know what she did it under, Candy's Treasures, maybe she did. I don't know, but look for her name is there, Candy, K-A-N-D-I. Go look for that. And you can find him on Facebook. You can find him on Facebook, Instagram. He is, I can tell you because I just followed him. I don't even, let me go back. Bear with me. I got to do all my little promotions here, so it's good. You are Blaine Wright, Idaho. BlaineWrightIdaho on Instagram. And there he sits, and he's there. And He says, I'm just your average cowboy. See?
Well, okay, I probably said I'm an average cowboy hippie biker.
Hippie biker. Yep, hippie biker. That's right. You did.
Yep,
it says, you got to accept me, I guess, because your page might be private. Yeah, no, you
okay,
don't have any posts yet. You got to get with the program here, you know. You got to
follow
people
I'm trying to learn how to do that when I'm doing LinkedIn very well now, and I'm doing Facebook a lot better.
I'm on LinkedIn also. Yes, LinkedIn is pretty good. I post stuff there all the time.
Well, I have my own
awesome.
Office group there. I have my own office group. I'd like to invite you there if I can hook
okay.
up with you on LinkedIn. Find me.
Okay, I'm Natalie Sist there, NATALIESIST. That's my name there.
Okay,
so
I will look for you. I'll invite you there. I'll invite you there.
Yes, please.
You qualify,
please,
you qualify
please.
As an author.
Well,
I'll invite you,
well, you know, people know this. I have started a fairy tale. I love fairy tales. I just love
fairy
tales.
Well, that's fine. You're involved in the process. This includes anything to do with being a novelist, which means editing. Anybody wants to talk about anything on the author group, you want help, you want advice, you want to just talk about your book, you want to send links, you want to promote, you want to just, it's all there. It's all there. You can promote there as well. Sure.
Okay.
We'll promote you.
Yeah, well, that'd be great.
Natalie,
I do this because I love what I do, so,
I do
you
too.
Know, and I,
do
I always
too.
Know I've, I've got, you know, I've got little angel wings up there, little feathers up there, lots of them. I have so many of them, I really do, because I just, that's what I'm about. And, you know,
sure.
Now what's the name of your group on LinkedIn so I can make sure that I connect with you or ask a request anyways?
The Fiction Authors Group. If I find you, Natalie Siss, S-I-S-S, I can probably invite you.
S-I-S-T. It's sister without the E-R. S-I-S-T,
okay.
Like a Tom.
Okay.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Find me.
But yeah,
I'm excited.
It's an author's group.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, cool. I'll be in the author's group. Right. Oh, my. Maybe that will inspire me. I mean, I have the beginnings of this story. It's a very spiritual story. You would like it.
Just write it. That's all I get. That's my big advice. Write it. Just get in there and write it.
Write it. I know.
So many people want to be writers and they just never do it.
No, and everybody's supposed to have a book in them. That's what they say. I don't know if that's true or not. But this is geared to 12 to 60. Oh, anybody, 12 and up. Anybody that can understand and just it makes believers. And you're going to love how I end the show. So listen, don't go away. Hold on. I want to thank everybody for joining me tonight. Next week, again, we have another special guest. They're always special. Everybody's special to me, always. They're part of my family now. And go to Blaine's site, BlaineWrightIdaho.com. You're going to see some beautiful stuff there. He's on Amazon. His book is on Amazon. And the little prologue is there. Yes, indeedy, it's there. I see it. And also his article is an excerpt, actually. It's probably I think it's the prologue that she sent me. That's in this issue of mysticlivingtoday.com. And I have a link to his website in case you forget. And you say, what was the name of that site? I've always put it at the bottom of the article. So it's there. And I want to thank everybody for listening again. And we have a variety here, I'm telling you. It's wonderful. And we're going to have Blaine back. I want to have you back. You know, I really think that it's important to continue on. I do this with a lot of authors, Blaine, because I like people to relate to you. It helps everybody. Your story helps everybody. What you're writing about.
I love getting it out there. I hope that there's some magic within the pages that I write, and I hope to share that with people. And when that happens, it's
oh, yes, absolutely. So thank you, Candy. I know you're listening. I love you very much. Thank you, Jackie. I don't think she's in another room, so she's busy right now. And anybody that's listening, thank you. Please come next week, 8 to 9 p.m., same time, same station. And as I always end my show, and it's going to be the same tonight, believe in things you cannot see, because they really are there. And with that, I'm going to say goodnight. Goodnight, Blaine. I'll talk to you soon, and I'll see you on LinkedIn, okay?
Good night. God bless you, Natalie.
Oh, God bless you, too. And follow me on Instagram now, you hear?
I will. I will follow.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye. Good night. Good night, Candy. Candy says love you, too. Thank you, Blaine, she said, for sharing with us tonight. Thank you, everybody.
Sure.
Have a great evening.
Sure.
Good week. Be safe. Be good to people. Remember that. Do what I do. Help people that are struggling somewhere, trying to get in their car. It's not going to hurt you to lend a hand. I'm very small, and I don't care how big you are. I will help you if I can. And I want everybody out there to do the very same thing. It's true. And be good to your little animals or big animals or whatever you have, because they're very precious, you know. I call them my little boopies. I belong to Kevin Richardson's group. He does a lion. He's the lion whisperer. And he just loves when I say, why do you call them boopies? I said, I don't know. It's a name that came to me. All animals are little boopies to me. Now, I don't care if they're rhinoceroses, if they're giraffes, if they're lions. It doesn't really matter. They're all little boopies to me. So have a good evening, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Everyone could be who they were really meant to be, without limitation, discrimination. This world could show all its colors, so get the